Well, welcome again to our first Diversity Sunday. Not a title we've used before. But today is a chance to pause and to take stock, to celebrate and to set our resolve in moving forward together, to advocate and to work towards being a fully diverse and affirming church. Not just this church community, but the church at large. I, as many of you will know, am a great believer in keeping ourselves... Oh, thank you, Caroline. We had one fire in the church. We're very keen to avoid a second one. I'm very keen on remaining rooted within the great story of our Christian faith. Rooting ourselves in the story and in the tradition of the Christian community. That means I do believe in following the liturgical shape and the cycle of the year. I think our forebears had a good idea that cycles are an important part of nature, an important part of our own lives. So I think this liturgical shape and cycle informs us, it challenges us, it guides us, because our forebears in faith understood the importance of ritual and shape and of hearing the great narrative, the great sweep of the narrative of our faith when we gather together week by week and month by month, year by year. But I know also that we want to celebrate and mark those things which are important to us in our own journey together as this community, as this expression of what it means to be the Church of Christ in this place and in this time. So marking this Sunday as Diversity Sunday isn't displacing our journey through the great story of Easter time. And I've kept the readings for today, the third Sunday of the Easter season. But as with any sermon, this is an opportunity to link our scriptures for today to things which matter to us here and now. And of course, that's the job of any sermon, but that's a conversation for another time. I hope today will be just a little prick in our conscience as we recommit ourselves to being an affirming, celebrating community in which all are welcome and from which we are sent out to be, to proclaim justice, to include all, and to be gracious in our service to everyone without distinction. And these scriptures do a good job of reminding us of our calling to be and to celebrate our diversity, and to seek to be more than welcoming, more than tolerant, to be disciples of the one who embraced and embraces all people, regardless of race or age or gender or sexuality, class, education, ability, or any of the other identifiers that we've created and so often used to divide us, or we use to exclude people or control them. But my first thought when I open the readings to today was amusement. For in the story of Saul's dramatic conversion, we see Ananias being sent to a certain place to meet with the persecutor of the growing church. He is sent to a street called Straight. More a kind of coincidence, I think, than divine appointment, but it did give me a smile as I started preparing my thoughts for today. But then we also see in Ananias a reaction that many of us have when we encounter difference or diversity in our world. Fear, anxiety. Just this morning, there were a couple of men in the garden next door as I came in, and my first response as they were using was to be afraid. They weren't aggressive or unpleasant, but I still immediately shrank back from them. Of course, there is a healthy caution in approaching some people, but when we don't get beyond that visceral, that initial primary reaction, when we don't see people as people but see them as problems or issues or the other, we have lost something of our own humanity in that process. And as I heard at the BC Political Science Association conference this week, which I attended in Vancouver, this process of making other people the other, of othering, is an important factor in the rise of prejudice and polarization and populism in our current world. In fact, in our reading from Acts, we're not just called to see the other, that person who differs from us in skin color, gender expression, sexuality, age, religion, whatever. We're not just called to see them as human. We're challenged to do something more. We're called to see them as Christ. They are the Christ in front of us. When Saul receives his vision on his journey, and I should just say here, there is no mention of him falling off a horse. That was the invention of a later painter. But when Saul hears the voice, this voice that comes from a blinding light, he does not hear, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute my people?" He hears, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" For the other we meet is carrying Christ within them, just as we carry Christ with us. The foundation of our celebration of diversity is to celebrate the Christ in each one of us. For our gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, queer, two-spirit, gender fluid, substance using, mentally ill, differently abled, poor, rich, white, indigenous, hipster, straight, redneck, overeducated, Asian, Jewish, Arab, cisgendered, black, brown, sibling, is presenting to us Jesus. He gives us, she gives us, the opportunity to encounter Christ in whoever we meet. And when we do reach out, when we do take the risk, when we do seek to encounter, we may find more than we bargained for. For Ananias found Paul not breathing fire, angry and hostile. Paul was found in prayer. Though Paul was the one whose sight was restored in this story, perhaps Ananias was the one who saw things clearly for the first time. He saw the divine at work in the most unexpected place. He saw the transformation that comes from God working within us to change our attitudes and our way of approaching the world. Which leads us to our gospel reading for today. The familiar story of the miraculous draught of fishes and breakfast on the beach. It's an echo in the Gospel of John of the calling of the disciples in the Gospel of Luke. So that's obviously a story that had taken hold very early on in the Christian community and may have been interpreted in different ways, but still had this core of the miraculous draught of fishes and Peter's response to it. And both of these different accounts see Peter transformed, both of which have the same calling to finish. Follow me. Follow me is a calling not just to that moment of transformation, but to an ongoing journey of discipleship, a journey of change and movement and progress. These moments of transformation are not the end of a story, but the beginning of journeys for Peter and Paul, the beginning of tough journeys for both of them. We're told within the account today in Acts, where Ananias receives the vision, that God says to Ananias in that story, "I will let him know how much he will suffer for my sake." And we heard in today's Gospel of St. John, where Peter is told that there will come a time when you will be bound and you will be led away. These moments of transformation are just a beginning. They're just a start. We need, as a community, as individual followers of Christ, to continue to commit ourselves to work for justice, for inclusion, for welcome, yes, but more than that, for a recognition of diversity and a celebration of the diversity that God has given as a gift to all human people. We too are at the beginning of a new stage, I believe, of our discipleship. We have work to do. We have work to do on ourselves and work to do in the world around. Perhaps more accurately, we have work to allow God the Spirit to do in and through and with and alongside us. We have work to do as individuals and as community. We have work to do which the Spirit will lead us in and in which the Spirit will sustain us if we allow her. When Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" to Peter. Commentators say, he asks, "Do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally and wholeheartedly with the grace of God?" Again, commentators say, Peter replies with, "You know, I love you as a brother. I love you as a friend." So Jesus keeps asking for that gracious love. I believe that God is asking us for that gracious love, that love which loves abundantly and fully. I believe the writer of John carefully puts these words to Peter in Jesus' mouth, "Tend my sheep, feed my lambs," as an echo of the reference to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in chapter 10 of the same gospel. Jesus who says, "I have sheep beyond this fold," those who are not part of the in-group. We are called to tend and care for them. And that tending will not just involve the practical acts of feeding the hungry, but of challenging the structures that leave people hungry. It will involve both speaking out against and acting against poverty and speaking out against the neoliberalism which continues to need poverty to survive as a system. We will need metaphorically to tend the lambs, to tend the sheep as advocates for equal marriage within the Anglican Communion, the Anglican Church of Canada, and as we continue to support trans rights in their fight, in trans people in their fight for recognition, for rights, and for affirmation. This is the street called straight to which we are called. Despite our anxieties, despite our fears, despite the fears and the anger of those who interpret our Christian message as one of exclusion, or who want to create walls of doctrine or apparently biblical exclusion, we are called to learn and to listen from them and from all those who recognize this message of freedom and transformation. The late Rachel Held Evans, writer and theologian who came from a conservative evangelical background with a message of radical grace and expansive transformation, who died tragically yesterday, wrote, "This is what God's kingdom is like. A bunch of outcasts and oddballs, gathered at a table not because they're rich or worthy or good, but because they're hungry and because they said yes. And there's always room for more." There is always room for more at Christ's table. We have a calling to be transformed by learning and listening, by opening ourselves to those who have been othered and remembering that they are us. There is no us and them. The image of the mosaic has been overused, but it is, to my mind, still a good image of diversity, all worked together to create a beautiful work of art. Sometimes a messy work of art, sometimes a complicated work of art, sometimes one with many broken pieces, but one in which every piece has a place, and that whole that is created is a thing of beauty and wonder. For the progress our own community has made, thanks be to God. For the work we still need to do, may God challenge and inspire us. May God guide us now and always. May our diversity always be a thing of celebration and a spur to action. Thanks be to God.